I'm Horton Carl Andrews, Carl with a K. I was born July 19, 1915, in Perry, Oregon.
And when you were growing up, is there any special things that happened to you before you started school?
There probably is. I don't recall them now. I remember after going to school, I take my little wagon and go all around under the track and back over the track up to the mill, and they had these one by two strips laying out there. And I'd get a wagon full of them home and stop by the store and get a handful of nails and go home and build things.
And make your own toys. That was real interesting. And we were talking earlier, you said there were two schools.
Yes.
When you went to school. Now, would you explain that?
Well, the two schools had each four grades. First four in the smaller building, and the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth was in the larger building.
And then if they went on to high school, they'd have to go to LeGrand.
Right. Not many of them did.
Well, I can appreciate that during those times. Was there anything that happened to you while you were going to school in Perry, that activities that you did and games you played, maybe? And
well, I don't remember anything in the school, but right there on that hill coming down there was our sleigh riding in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
And it was patronized quite a bit.
And we had winters in those days.
Yes. Also, we'd go down the river, lay on the ice in those days.
Uh-huh.
The company used to, I don't know if it was the company or the railroad, harvested ice behind the dam. And they used to ice the refrigerator cars there, the railroad did.
Uh-huh.
But in my memory, there was an ice house up in the lumber yard, and it was every summer it was full of ice and sawdust, and we kids loved to play there.
You like to shave off a little ice and suck on it?
Yeah.
Now, when the railroad were icing cars, that was fruit cars that was going through to maybe the east and after the harvest in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Oregon Navigation and Railroad Company. Back in the
R&N.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now the mill at that time was the Grand Mountain Lumber Company, or was it this?
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking a while ago about the name of the mill when Granddad came up there, and I can't remember the name of the people that owned it.
Uh-huh.
But Stoddard eventually got it.
You said your grandfather came there about 1860.
86. Yeah,
2 years after the railroad.
That's what he said, a couple of years after the railroad.
Uh-huh. And he always lived there in Perry then?
Grandma used to say they built three new houses in their life and never got one the way they wanted. But he built the house in Perry. He used to laugh. He built it right in the middle of what was supposed to be a street. And it ended up just a narrow alley. I don't know how that mistake was made. But he also homesteaded up there in Starkey, about where the elk ranch is there now, high fence.
Uh-huh. The experimental station.
Yeah. And Sullivan, who had the ranch ways from there, was his guy that was supposed to stand up for him.
Uh-huh.
Well, and come to see whether he had proved up on it, they asked Sullivan, and he said, "I don't know." And Granddad, that was always a sore point with him, as long as I ever knew him.
I can appreciate it. So then your father grew up in the same area also?
No, my dad, That's my mother's side of the family.
Oh, uh-huh.
She was born prior to me.
Uh-huh.
But my dad came from North Carolina. And he was about 22, I guess. And he had a brother in the Army at Fort Vancouver. And he wanted to come out to see him. And on his way back, he had come through La Grande. He went the northern route west because he knew a fellow that worked in North Carolina was working in a sawmill there down in the Palmer Lumber Company. Bob Young. I don't know if you knew Bob Young or not.
No,
he used to drive taxi. Charlie Young's.
I knew Charlie Young.
Was his dad.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so he went to see him, and Dad ended up taking 18 years going home, and I went with him. Bob Young and Dad married sisters,
uh-huh.
The Hansons. And Harry Hanson, I don't know if you know Harry Hanson, Carl Hanson, Lyle Hanson's dad.
I'm not sure.
He was the first born.
Well, living at Perry, did it seem like a long way from town when you...
Oh, I didn't think much about it. I remember that Saturday night was the big night. Stores in La Grande are always open at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And we'd go to town and folks would do some shopping. They'd always give me a quarter and I'd buy a candy bar and go to the show.
What show was it at that time?
Well, the Granada was the Star.
The Star Theater.
And then the Liberty was the arcade. And then the, I guess it's always Sherry's.
That's where the State Theater was later.
Yeah.
It was Sherry's.
Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing I remember about living in Perry, I guess. We used to go Huckleberry in. And some of the folks would go up Rob's Hill.
Uh-huh.
Coming back with tubs full of huckleberries. I can't figure out where they got them up there. I never see any.
Well, families did those activities in those days.
Dad did a lot of fishing. He loved to fish. And he'd drive up to where the river, where they stacked logs.
Mm-hmm.
There on the river camp, they called it.
Right.
But there was no road going on up the river at that time.
Yeah, toward what is now called Tony Bays.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There was a road after you got to Tony Bays that come in from around the hill there, up there. But none of that like going up the river. But Dad used to like to fish up there. And he would, he and another fellow, one Sunday in particular, they're both sawyers at the mill. Fred Robertson was the other fellow. And they fished clear up to Tony Bays and coming back. And they counted their fish and one had 99, the other one had 100.
Weak.
And so they decided to get right there and then cast the hook again. They got another one. But I remember 4th of July, it was usually quite a big three or four day weekend going up the river and camping.
Well, in those days, did you know the Tall family that was up by the Condit Ranch? And
yeah, I never knew them, but I remember the Tall house up there.
Uh-huh.
And how the road used to, you go by the Condit Ranch and turn in a little ways, missed all that swampy ground in there.
Yeah.
But I remember going by the Tall place.
Uh-huh. Well, when you said your dad was a sawyer, what kind of a saw did they use in the mill at that time?
It was pretty much like we had there.
Just a round one? When did they start using a bandsaw?
Well, they had bandsaws then.
They did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't know how the original mills were, but they had a bandsaw. My granddad Hanson was a saw filer.
Oh.
And
Well, then when you left Perry, did you come to Le Grand when you started school here?
Yes.
And then you graduated from Le Grand High School.
Yeah, Central, and we lived over here on Cherry Street. But Willow here only had four grades, and I was in the fifth grade. So I clear up the whole Central.
Uh-huh.
We used to go over the hill where the normal school is there and play in the old graves. And
that was before the college was built.
Yeah.
I was told that there was a wooden step that went up the hill there pretty close by a gravel pile. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the wooden steps, but on 8th Street Hill, that was quite a quarry for gravel.
Uh-huh. When you were going to high school, up at high school, what activities did you do? Did you play football?
I tried a little football, but I didn't have baseball then for some reason. But I played basketball.
Uh-huh.
Went to the state tournament my senior year.
Okay. Did you win?
No. We got beat by Tillamook and Athena.
Well, it was a good time, though.
Yeah. First time I'd been west to Pendleton.
I'll be. Well, then when you graduated for high school, what did you want to do?
I remember my dad asking me, he said, "What do you want to do now?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, you better go to work." And out the mill I went.
So which mill did you start at?
Mount Emily.
Mount Emily. And the Mount Emily started in 1925?
Yeah. You see the plaque on the wall there?
Yes.
That's part of the first log that went through that mill. And Dad sawed it.
And you also sawed the last log, didn't you? You and your father?
Well, that was before. That was the end of the old equipment.
Uh-huh.
They were putting in new head rigs and stuff.
But they hadn't sold the mill by that time?
No. Well, they had sold it, but it was Valsetta Lumber Company.
That. Uh-huh.
And then later they merged with Boise Cascade.
Uh-huh. You probably knew my father, John Olson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a good old guy.
He worked for Mount Emily for all those years.
Yeah, and he lived in Baker quite a bit.
Yes, that was where I was born, was Baker.
In fact, I remember Grandma talking about the Olsons. And I don't know if it was your family or there was another one that had a furniture store out there, Olson.
I don't think so. Them being a part of our family, because my grandfather and grandmother came over from Norway. And
my grandmother.
So I don't think that they were.
In fact, what was his first name?
John.
Do you remember Charlie Olson?
No, I don't.
Anyway, we have a picture someplace. There's Charlie Soley, Charlie Olson, and Charlie Hansen, all getting married in the same ceremony.
I'll be. That's quite a deal. Well, then when you went to work at the mill, and what kind of activities did you do? Did you hunt and fish?
I hunted some, but it was always, I killed a couple of deer, but it's so depressing to me to kill a deer. I walked in the hills. I didn't pack a gun.
That's a nice thing. Then you got married?
Yeah, I'm 41.
Uh-huh.
I went to work in the mill in 33.
Uh-huh.
And 41. We're in our 62nd year now.
Well, that's a nice long record. That's good. And you haven't had how many children?
Three.
Three?
Mike is 60.
These kids grow up quick.
And the other two will be 56 and 58.
Uh-huh.
In November.
And then, how long have you lived in this house on Willow?
Well, we got married in 41, and I bought the property that year. We got married in May. Sometime in the summer, late summer, I bought the north 150 feet of this block here from the milling company.
And that's the flour mill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Old Vedder, I got him to, I drew out a 20 by 26 house here. And he built it for me. And so we've been here since February 42.
I'll be done. Well, what happened to you during the war?
I was never 1A. Uh-huh. My kids kept me out for a time. And then I was sawing at that time. And that kept me out of the rest of it.
Well, that was good. When you had a family, you needed to stay home. And then your kids, I imagine, went to Willow Grade School and went then on to high school where you went.
Yeah, that's right. And all three of them have a master's degree now.
Well, that's a nice record. What kind of occupations did they...
Well, the girls are both nurses.
Uh-huh.
And Mike was a high school English teacher.
Oh, and where did he go on to teach?
He taught for 33 years, and 30 of them in Park Rose.
Right down in Portland.
Mm-hmm. And the girls are, the youngest one, Carla, lives in Albany. She sees your half-sister.
Uh-huh.
Down there. In fact, that's the last time I saw David. I sit in there in the bleachers waiting for the program. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder. It was he.
My little brother.
Yeah.
Well, he's a doctor in Sacramento, you know. Well, it's a small world in a lot of ways.
It sure is. Mel Bork was living down there at Albany at that time.
Is that right? I remember Melton. He lived up on 4th Street for a long time.
But he got canned out here before I did. And he went down and got a job down
there. You got canned. What was that over?
Well, they got rid of all the foreman people.
They brought in their own people when they changed hands.
It was a gradual procedure. Mel was one of the first to get it. And then the whole procedure there, both the night and day foreman of the sawmill, yard bosses, all of them down the planer, they all got it.
But you weren't protected because the foremans weren't under union.
Yeah, when I got to be a foreman, well, the union mustered me out.
Yeah.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I enjoyed 15 years at the college.
Well, now tell us about your 15 years at the college and how that came about.
Well, I'd spent 8 years on the school board up here, and I'd got acquainted with a lot of the college people. In our church, there were a number of college profs, Laybaugh, the president of the college is there, Frank Bennett.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Bennett.
And then there's Al Kaiser, a number of them. I knew them all.
All the great old teachers at the college.
And then when I lost my job over there, and I tried to sell Med insurance for a while, and that was the best, worst thing I ever did. I contemplated suicide on that, but I couldn't see where that helped my family any. But anyway, Glenn Slaybaugh came to me and said they were going to start the chemistry storeroom up there, a person in it, and would I be interested? Well, I was interested, but I'd never even had a class of chemistry. But I got the job, and they had a full year's chemistry in the first summer, and four of us were in that class. So I got some chemistry, and I think I had 12 hours in Richmond, but it's more, mainly just given to me. But I learned a lot of chemistry up there. See, I got a periodic chart up there.
Oh. Well, I know when you were up there, you helped build several things that they needed to work in the class.
Yeah, they're always coming. All over the campus, they're coming over for things for me to repair.
Well, what were some of the things that you built?
Carts they used around there. I used plywood and get some wheels and put on. They had several of those. What's the scopes? I can't think of the type of scope. I think it was two of those carts that I made where you could tilt the scope however they wanted. Dick had a...
Dick Herman said.
Yeah. He wanted a deal that would be perpetually... I'm forgetting a lot of those words.
I can appreciate it.
But anyway, it had a pipette, and it's supposed to gradually dispense so many drops a minute. And I made a deal that had a little motor on it, and a screw, and just keep it going to drop that pipette. And I don't know if he ever used it much, but I made it.
Well, it sure helped the instructors to have... equipment that they can demonstrate their...
And I had to decide to inventory everything and also order chemicals, things that we needed, labware. And then I had to prepare for the labs. So I learned a lot of chemistry, right? They had to show me a lot of that stuff to begin with. But by 15 years, I wasn't asking them very much.
Well, that's great.
But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the kids. I'll have to show you a book I got there on my retirement. Over through.
And then, what year was that that you retired?
81. Going on 22 years.
Time goes quickly when you're having fun. Dick Herman is now teaching graduate students up out of Moscow, Idaho.
Yes. That's where I saw him and we were talking. I was out the mailbox and the car stopped there and it was him. And then I see he and Maxine and their two girls coming out of the police station. Sunday morning, we were in there getting breakfast.
Yes, she's keeping quite busy.
Yeah, you see a handrail there. I've been working on that. I've got one on this side. As I'm getting more teetery, I decided maybe I better have another one.
Well, you've got a nice basement here, by golly.
You can see that wall was the original wall. Uh-huh. After we were living in the smaller part, I originally thought we would build a small house and then we'd build the bigger one on the corner. But it didn't turn out that way. And so we started, I first built on a little bit out here, stairway, give us more room in there. And then we decided to build two bedrooms and a bath on this side here. And pick and shovel and a wheelbarrow, I dug this whole basement.
Oh. They had to do it that way in those days.
Well, and like we say oftentimes, we build all that. When we buy a board, we nailed it on.
I can appreciate that. We kind of built our house that way too, our first one.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, you live up there on your wife's.
Where her grandparents had. Yeah. Our first little house was across from the clinic there at 6th and J.
Oh, yeah.
We built a little house there.
Yeah.
But it helps. Now, my father, whom you know, he contacted a fellow at the mill, and we bought a bunch of knotty pine, and we used that for to put the sheeting on our roof and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So it was with a lot of help. I'm sure that you had some too. Didn't you notice in those days that people helped one another?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that the thing we miss?
Yeah, and I think that's what's wrong with a lot of organizations. Churches and the Elks, and I understand the golf course even having problems out there.
Well, I can appreciate there's so many activities that take your time.
TV.
Yes. True.
Times you speak of, we never flopped to watch TV then. We finish eating and then have a project.
Yeah. And you did things as a family.
Yeah.
What were some of the things you did as a family with your boys and girls, your boy and two girls?
We usually every weekend we had a drive around the mountains or something, have some weenies and buns and build a fire out in the woods someplace. But we took a lot of trips. We backpacked.
Where did you backpack to?
See that cabin up there?
Yes.
Dick later took that picture. That's LaGore's cabin. LaGore's Lake does have a higher than that. But we were camped up Hurricane Creek one time, and Mike and Dog and I took out up Fall Creek as a very vague path going up there. We had no idea where it was going. That's where we went. And then we went on up the top of the LaGore Lake, and on the top you could look down on the lake from the South Fork side.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, that Mike was quite excited about that. And he did some investigating about who built it, found out it was LaGore. And so in college, he wrote a deal on LaGore and his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And later, Dick and a bunch of his friends, we went up there. That's when he took the picture and later presented me that.
Well, that's a steep trail going up Hurricane Creek, isn't it?
Yeah, and up this Fall Creek, it's just like that. It's probably not over a mile and a half or so up that canyon, but you're just almost on all fours all the time.
It's really steep.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've come with Dick Hermans from the top Mirror Lake down Hurricane Creek,
yeah,
clear to the bottom, and I know you slip and slide, and
mm-hmm,
it's well, steep.
It's not steep as that. He mined molybdenum and garnets.
Oh.
And the thing that amazed me, inside the corner of that cabin, there was a big old iron anvil. And how he got it up that hill, I know the work Mike did find out about it. He had a mule or a donkey or something that went up there. And that poor donkey must have had to pack that thing up there. But the last time I was in that cabin, it was gone. I wondered if somebody rolled it down over the mountain.
Well, the Forest Service burned a lot of them, too. No, I don't remember ever seeing that particular cabin. I also used to backpack up in High Lakes, Mirror and Moccasin. Then all the way from Lostien over to Willow Lake and Fraser and what's the one that's so blue, that's so pretty, that all the pictures are taken? You can see it from the top of the Eagle Cap.
Well, you can see the Fraser, and I've never been to those two lakes.
It is an ice lake. This ice lake's another spot.
It's up on the way to Matterhorn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, the youngest daughter of mine, she's still like, just we could go. She's up the lake with her husband and her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend, and they spent several days. And then the daughter, my daughter, and her husband left them up there, and they spent the rest of the week hiking around up there.
So much fun. Yet I miss going again. I wished I was in better shape.
Yeah.
Could go up there.
Well, that's me. Ruth and I have done a lot of walking. Like we walked up the lake basin and over the hill into Minum and back down the other side all in one day.
That's a long way.
And we talked about on the Walla Lake and around up coming down Hurricane. Mike and I did that in one day. And a lot of others. But we used to do a lot of walking here, Upper Perry, above the Upper Perry, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the old highway there. There's a mile and a half there. We'd walk that up a mile and a half and back every night for years. And we'd still go up there once in a while.
Well, it's a pretty place to go.
And you very seldom miss seeing some game.
In those certain Harding dedicated immigrant springs.
I can vouch for that. We went up there. Saw and speak. No, it was a gravel road, and I don't know, that has never crossed my...
But it was after 1923 that they actually paved the road.
But I remember them starting to build that highway before that. That old arch bridge with Upper Perry there, you know,
mm-hmm.
that has a 24 date on it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one summer, the year I started school at Enterprise, we were living there behind the dam on a flat place there, and we had to have a boat to go across there to get to where we were staying. They're building a house for us down in Perry. Anyway, they were blasting and starting to make that highway then, and that must have been 21, because I started school in fall of 21.
That was dear to go.
Yeah.
It when during the war. How did rationing affect you?
Well, my wife was from Malawa, and their folks never did have a car. So we used to try to get up there every once in a while. But during rationing, by doing a lot of walking around home here, we get enough gas to go up there and back every 5 weeks.
What kind of a car did you have in that?
39 DeSoto. Uh-huh. I got that before we got married. And we had it clear through the war.
I know people used to buy chickens from some of the farmers and,
yeah.
and rabbits. And
yeah, I did too. Right here in the middle, this guy over there had rabbits.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty good, but I always thought of cats when I.
I know what you mean.
But I don't remember. I'm not a great meat eater, a beef eater. But I don't remember any problems.
Do you remember any particular stories about prohibition?
We lived next door to Klinghammer when I was growing up.
Hugo Klinghammer was the deputy sheriff.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And there's many a morning I was waking up, awakened in the morning. And he had a big truck where he harvested a still somewhere.
Those were quite some of the times.
Yeah.
Now the Chinese influence. Did you have any experience with any of the Chinese people that lived here?
No, I didn't. When we first moved over there, over here where Safeway is now, there's a Chinese had a garden there. and they use the water to come down that ditch. But the ditch come under the track on this side, and he had a smaller ditch going down that side. And I remember him patrolling that, but we never had any problem with it.
Well, actually, they were nice people. They grew garden things and peddled them to people around town. Did you know anything about the Chinese that were down by the old Le Grand Hotel there on 4th Street?
Yeah, when we moved in 25, the corner Adams and 4th Street was all junky stuff there, and from there back, clear
over to the railroad.
Yeah, and towards the depot, all the junky living quarters.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember any problems. I remember China Mary had a noodle parlor there on Adams, about where the old telephone
was. It was just west of where the old telephone office was.
And I know we ate in there quite a bit.
They called that the Chinese Republic in the early days.
I never heard that.
Later that was the same building that Homer Lockwood had his delivery shop when he delivered groceries, and had a little motorcycle shop there.
Yeah, well, I remember him over there on Burr, across from the Sac Annex.
Oh.
Where I remember him having a shop.
Well, Dad, my father, was his partner in the key business.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Hmm. They'd known each other from Baker.
Well, I probably remember him because my best friend was a Lockwood, Bob Lockwood.
Uh-huh.
And his dad was the, what do you call him, foreman in the printing shop, an observer.
Oh.
And he got canned about the time we got out of high school. And we formed a friendship that lasted, just a year ago. He died over in Benland. Lockwoods, the two Lockwoods, and they're no related.
Yeah.
But Bob Lockwood had a motorcycle later.
Oh. Did you ever try riding a motorcycle?
Yeah. One night, I had an old black Plymouth coupe. And he was started a filling station over at Pendleton, just out of high school. And I guess he was over here. And the storm or some reason or other, he took my Plymouth back. And he says, bring my motorcycle over on Sunday. And later on, some sunny day, I drove it over there.
You got there in one piece.
Yeah.
Well,
talk about gardening. Did you know the Matsons of America?
I knew the Matson that was the educational director of the CC camp. Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Lived up on First Street?
No. They lived in Perry, down by below where the old mill pond used to be.
No, I didn't.
But there's quite a few of them. An old man Matson used to, like one of the Matson boys, not in that picture. But he'd peddle vegetables around on the flat up there. And here, two or three years ago, Dutch Braden was over here. He wanted to go up around Perry. They lived right next door to us there. So we went down to Matson's, and Teddy Matson was there. And he owned all the old mill site up there.
Oh!
And he took us for a ride up there, look at various things. But he has since died. And they sold all that. Some guy that was going to build a golf course. But I don't know what happened to that.
Well, like everything else, the Indians said that it would disturb the artifacts.
Yeah.
And as you know well, the mill covered that whole area.
Yeah.
And the first mill that I have a picture was in 1887 there.
go on talking.
Yes, I've seen this picture.
The ice house is here.
Right.
And when they pull the ice out of there, they had a spur come in there.
Yeah. Were you up there when they blew the dam?
No, but I got some pictures of that, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but yeah. When that mill burned in 23 or whatever it was, and we were eating our evening meal down here,
uh-huh.
And Dad took off, and I wanted to go, and he says no. So I went up by the schoolhouse, got on top of the hill, and watched that mill burn up.
Well, there were a lot of men worked there during that period of time.
Oh, yeah. I remember Dad making a remark. Some down and outer would come to Perry and get a job, and next thing you know, he was doing pretty good.
Well, good.
That summer that we lived in the tent, we had to cross in a boat over here,
uh-huh.
And they built the highway around. But I can read, that's another thing maybe is of interest. Up here, where the bridge crosses there, I can remember the last log jam in the river.
Uh-huh.
And, at that time we were living here in the tent. If Dad, if the boat wasn't available, he'd have to go up and cross the log jam to come down to the tent.
That's when they would take the logs down in the spring. They'd, they had the river dammed up there, Tony Bays and other places, and,
yeah.
And let the water go and wash all the logs down to the mill.
Three flash dams up there.
Oh, and where were those?
One was on Fly Creek, and one was on the river,
uh-huh.
And one was on Meadow Creek.
Uh-huh.
And they had them all the time, so they'd come in there. And Mother used to talk about that was one of the great times of the year. All the girls and everybody would go up from Perry and up the river and watch the logs coming down, all the crews and the loggers and keeping those logs from hanging up.
Yeah. The main line of the railroad went right by there.
Yeah. And you know, for years, all the time I lived there, it never occurred to me till later. You can just see where that was blown out so the railroad could go through.
Uh-huh.
In the early days, they must have had to go clear around anybody going up the river.
They sure must have.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still that little piece there. And really the only piece left of where you might see where the mill was, well, there's a couple of foundations over in the back part here,
mm-hmm.
But there's that little thing, there was a little powder house, wasn't it?
No, that was a safe.
That was a safe?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
That was the office and the store there. And that was a safe, and you can go up to Pondosa where they moved this mill and everything.
Uh-huh.
There's one just like it sitting up there.
Just up there. I can remember when the Stoddards had that, Dave Stoddard, that was later the doctor, said that he could ride his bicycle up there quicker than his dad could drive their Winston car. The mud was so deep.
And Dr. Richardson used to go up there and deliver babies. He delivered me up there.
Uh-huh. Well, that one picture of the Grand Round Lumber Company, would your dad be in that? There, Mr. Poorman, and I remember Horace J. Nelson was one of them.
Yeah,
and,
I've seen that. Dad's not in it.
He's not in that picture.
An uncle of mine, Harry, is in it.
Yeah.
I think Gip Valentine. He was a planer foreman. Gib, you... not long after the mill burned, he went as a association grader. And then he went up to Baker and the old Stoddard Lumber Company. He took the foreman. He was the foreman of the planer up there, and eventually had the whole meal.
Oh. That's quite a picture there, showing the dam.
Yeah, Fred Beeman brought that in. He saw it at a second hand store out at Island City, and he knew I was interested, and he bought it and didn't give it to me.
He was quite a pretty.
Yeah.
Did you trade with him when he had the Richfield service station?
I probably did some. Bob Rollo is where I did most of my trading.
Fred Beeman told me that he'd give a car wash if you filled up your tank. And so my dad would always bring his car in on Saturday and said, fill the tank, and Freddie'd have to wash his car.
Yeah.
He was quite a Freddie. Was there any particular plays or anything that you were in at school? Did you help in anything like that when you went to high school in LeGrand?
No, I was never in any plays. But we had one Christmas. This is Bessie Pettigrew, an English teacher. She had a Christmas play where there's a lot of dramatics and this dance. And I was one of the dancers. Each of us had a sword. Well, Pat Beeman was one of them. And Clayton Fox is one of them. Anyway, sent me a letter the other day. We were talking about the people that were involved in that play. Anyway, there was a slug of people. Recognize the names.
Well, it was Sarah Draper. Did her folks run the Draper's commercial school?
Yeah, she was in my class.
Uh huh. Several names here, like Frank Tyler, Milton Smith, George Denny, and Burke Inlow, and Myron Smith, Sarah Draper, Wayne Foster, Mary Cook. And Genevieve Schote.
Yeah.
That's Virgil's sister. And Everett Reynolds.
Yeah.
Down here. Dolly Sakes.
Yeah, we're all in the class of 33.
Uh-huh.
So that is the extent of my being in plays.
Well, I just thought, you know, some of the things as we talk that come out, that it...
I can't think of any... Well, 33... But just the high school had burned, and we had spent all our senior year in churches, and I I remember I took civics in City Hall, English in Methodist Church, and that music was in the old Lutheran church on the end there.
So you had to rush really to get between classes, yeah, because it was so far to go.
Can you imagine them rushing?
Not much. Well, in looking back at LeGrand, is there anything you'd like to have seen better or you'd like to have done that you didn't get to do?
Oh, I don't know. I've liked LeGrand. They talk about wanting LeGrand to grow, but I'm not too anxious to have a big city here. I do like to see good times. Your kids, like my kids, have probably had to go someplace else to get work.
That's true.
But I, for some reason, this hit me. When we moved here in 25, the only paved road outside of town was to Island City and to Lone Pine. Mm-hmm. The road up the ferry is all gravel.
Well, you didn't get those things done until a little bit later.
And they widened the Island City Road twice, and I remember.
And at one time you were outside the city limits here, weren't you?
I was. Willow Street was the limit.
Right the middle of the street.
Yeah. And we lived here a number of years. And finally I took my property in, which was went clear to the other street, because I thought we had water, but we didn't have sewer. And I thought maybe we'd get some sewer if I was in. But just about 4 years ago is where sewer finally got here.
It's been that long. I remember when they put it down O Avenue, mm-hmm, because my father was alive at that time.
Yeah, and we moved on Cherry Street. We were between Adams and the track over there. We had sewer, but it went outside across the lot there, the main field. And later they made that trunk that went on over and down Cherry Street, and down O and N.
Well, they had to put in some lift stations, didn't they, to enable to get it across the tracks?
No, it was plenty deep.
I wasn't sure.
Where that sewer comes down in here, though, they were going to hook up Willow School here, but it had been on top of the ground. But when they did the mall, they made sewer clear out around. Never touched us here. Went clear out around, over to Wall Street, over by Pepsi-Cola there.
Uh-huh.
And they got a big pump there.
Yeah, they have a lift station there.
Mm-hmm. I remember the top blew off of the ones.
Oh.
And the manhole cover, whatever it was, landed in the Les Schwab lot.
Whee! That's a long way.
Yeah.
Well, LeGrand kind of grew. Well, you know, when the railroad came, it already started up on the hill, and then they grew together.
And everybody comes to town. Why are the streets so crazy coming in LeGrand?
Well.
Yeah, when I was a kid going to Central, I was peddling Oregonians, and I'd start down on by the Methodist Church there and go up 4th Street. And about the time I got to 4th Street, it was time to go to school. And I had to hang my papers in the closet and go to school all day, and then in the evening I'd finish up. And I remember you going up 4th Street, it was just kind of like an isolated street. You look off towards where the college is now, and you don't see much of anything. There was that old Catholic school either. And the same way on the other side. It's the only paved street up in the whole town, as I recall.
And when you were growing up, do you remember the car races that they had?
No, I guess not.
Well, did the, how about the county fair? Did they have it over by where... Well, that was earlier. Excuse me.
Well, I know the fairgrounds were where the old Mount Emily Mill is now.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. That was before we moved to town. And I always think it's odd that it's over there and now where Bowman-Hicks used to be. But I remember during the Depression, there in that building on 4th and Adams were the TV deal is there.
Uh-huh.
They had the fair in that building one year.
Oh.
When they didn't have any place to put it.
Well, they got it done.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's been some good changes, some changes maybe not so good. How do you feel about Safeway now being closer to your house?
Well, I guess I don't mind it because the traffic has come anyway.
Yeah.
It looks like ever since they opened up 16th through there, everybody comes down there. Even Bertie Broughton one day said, I go by your place all the time now since they've opened it.
So 16th goes into Willow.
I don't mind it. We still go to Albertson's.
You live actually between two railroad tracks, the main line and then the one that goes up the branch. How do you feel about everybody being excited about hearing the trains and whistles? Do they bother you?
They don't. And I spent my lifetime living next to them. Maybe it's something to do with it. But I read the items in the paper complaining about how the trains keep me awake. They never did keep me awake. In fact, the kid growing up is so romantic to listen to the trains whistling going out. And I just wish I was on one of them.
Travel the world.
Yeah.
Did you think you'd ever come to a time that we wouldn't have a passenger train coming through La Grande?
Well, I guess not. I wish the Amtrak now, we'd go down to the kids in holiday time. We don't like to drive anymore.
Not when the roads are slick. I understand. I never thought we'd ever see that.
Yeah, I told you about when I packed Oregonian. We used to have to meet the train to get the papers out of it. It was about 7:30 or something, and the train came in. There was an old fellow, Bradford. He dealt out the, what do they call that other paper? Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing there watching the train come in. Just watch that fellow come along, hit him and knock him right.
Whee!
Didn't hurt him much, I guess.
Well, good.
I remember seeing that.
Well, remember we used to have a man that stood on Fur Street there where the crossing was?
Yeah.
That's before railroad crossarms come along, I guess. That was Mr. Raha, wasn't it?
Well, I think they were different guys.
Yeah, that watched the crossing.
And they used to have, I don't think while we were in Perry they had them, but years after that, they have watchmen walking the track there by those cliffs. Mm-hmm. See, the track is all on. We got all those electric fences in there.
They call them rock fences. Rock come down, hit the fence, it pulls the cord, and they go check to see if it's all right. There isn't a rock on the track.
Yeah. I remember several wrecks, train wrecks up at Barry there. You know, it used to be quite a super road, a railroad in front of the store there. And then they track into the middle and went this way. Yeah. And I guess it caused some problems there because there are two different wrecks that I remember all piled up there in front of the store. And I had some pictures one time, and I don't know what happened to them. You look off down into the river and see a couple of boxcars lying in the river down there.
Yeah.
And one time, when they got these big long mallets, they couldn't make that corner there. And it went out on the ground, sitting there on the ground in front of the store.
There was something I remembered about the mill over there. They in the sign they had a shotgun carriage. Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, any of the steam feeds were shotguns. The guns themselves, they're 12-inch feeds over here. I don't know what they were over there.
Uh-huh.
And about a 4-inch piston brought you out to hook on the carriage, and then the sawyer would handle the valves that run that up and down. I don't know where the name shotgun got.
Oh, well, they sliced off a log, and then it was propelled back so that they could take the next slice. Is that what we're talking about?
It was just a 12-inch steam pipe in there that run about 40 feet, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's about a 5-inch pipe on each end that live steam controlled with a valve. And the sawyer's lever controlled these valves.
Well, when I was in high school, I think we toured the mill over there, and there was a girl by the name of Stein that was riding that carriage.
She's riding for me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I can remember that. We went through there in a high school class.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there during the wars. She must have worked there for a year and a half or so.
Well, I'll be darned.
Hugh Darling was the setter, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, I was one of those snot-nosed kids that come by.
Yeah, I know. There used to be a lot of them come by. It's interesting. There are three head rigs.
And what is a head rig?
Well, that's where you put the log on.
Uh-huh.
And went up and down the track. Carriage.
Well, the log come up out of the pond
and on the
by
deck.
Chain.
They kick it out on the deck.
Uh-huh.
And go down to the loader. Then the sawyer was ready for it. He had a lever to step on. It turned that over.